This is Brunch with the Hollowells. Here's a quote from Sean.
I'm not heartless. I've just learned how to use my heart less.
I love that. But I don't know it, though.
That's because you haven't watched The Witcher, and this is Yennefer from The Witcher, who is an awesome character.
Okay, who's Yennefer?
She starts off as, like, the deformed, ugly girl, and she goes through a big transformation, literally and figuratively, and she becomes the badass. She's kind of like the Catwoman of The Witcher, because she starts off as somebody everybody kicks aside, and then she takes command.
Oh, nice. Okay. Does she have, like, a specific power or anything?
Not really. She just does whatever spell she needs to get her point across.
Okay, so she just has a general sort of ability to cast spells.
Right.
Gotcha. All right, well, yes, I have not watched The Witcher. I don't see myself doing it. I watched, like, the first two episodes, and I didn't find it boring or anything. I just, yeah, I don't know. I think, here's the thing, when I watch shows that has all of these, like, names that you would only name pets, and every one of them sounds the same, I'm good. I hear it's okay. I'm not familiar with the story, but I mean, I'm not somebody that turns away from stuff like that. Like, I'm very interested in Cursed and The Warrior Nun, and I've watched some other ones that probably don't even meet up to Witcher, like the Sahara Chronicles, things like that. So, I mean, I don't know. It was just something about the first two episodes. I was like, I don't know who anybody is. And every time they say a name, it sounds like everybody else's. So I'm good.
Well, you're missing out.
Well, thank you for that quote. It'll be interesting for me to look her up when I post her on Instagram. Thank you for that quote. And we are doing episode 7 of season 5. So this episode originally aired November 3rd, 2002, written by Henry Alonzo Myers and directed by Stuart Gillard. Guest stars include welcoming back, rest in peace, Billy Drago as Barbas, Jennifer Rhodes as Penny Hollowell, James Reed as Victor Bennett with that wig, Ken Marino as Miles, and Troy Blendell as Stimple. So this episode scored 4.8 million viewers. We start off with Cole, who is attending a deposition and is hearing everyone whispering that he's a demon. He's feeling increasingly paranoid and hides in his office, only to find Phoebe in his chair. She presents him with final divorce papers, and she calls him evil, or so it seems to hear, and urges him not to fight it. He almost chokes her to death. I love how this is his immediate instinct. Like, I don't like what you're saying. I'm going to choke you out to death. But yet he claims to be good. But as it turns out, it's not really Phoebe, but Cole's assistant, and she's fearfully leaving his office. And then a ghostly Barbas taunts Cole, telling him that he's evil. Okay, so Sean, there is a lot to unpack here. First of all, did you know it was a dream? Or in his head? Or any of the variations? What was going on when this was happening?
I figured it was in his head as I was watching it. But yeah, he choked the hell out of his assistant. Like, I don't know in what office that's okay.
Yeah, and I love it. She was uncredited because she didn't say anything, the actress. But Cole would have been fired, arrested, probably executed. One of the three. Like, something would have happened if she had spoken up. But poor assistant, because, you know, people who are that higher up in that sort of, like, position, I'm not saying that they would never do it, but sometimes people find it a little hard to speak up, you know, because it's like, who are they going to believe? You know, some assistant or this high paying lawyer that everybody loves and respects, you know, there's no witnesses unless he left a mark. It's like, what is she going to do? Just quit?
You know, she walked out of the room and went, fucking Mondays.
I know, right? Like, oh, Cole.
You know, the part that I didn't think was a dream, and I was like, how sad, is when he threw the fireball at the two men in the elevator. I thought he killed two men who just are standing there.
Well, at first, I thought it was a dream. Like, him coming out of it, and they're, like, responding, like, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? Like, I thought all of that was a dream. And so the fact that the way he was reacting was happening in his office, and then the assistant just made it official. Like, this man's walking around the office crazy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But then you find out that somebody's in his head, literally, and causing all of this anxiety. So what do you think about Barbas being back? Is it too much, or is it just right for him to be that powerful to be able to do that?
I think they've used him well. And, like, I guess my only question would be, he seems much more powerful in this episode than he ever has before. So I guess I was kind of wondering, like, why is he more powerful now than before?
Okay, so I have a theory about that. I don't know if there's any sort of evidence to suggest this throughout the show, but from my understanding, that the way that he's been operating has kept him very limited as a demon of fear. But now that he was officially banished to hell, that he sort of is like breaking contract. He can practically do anything that he wants, is because he's not alive only to come in when it's Friday the 13th. Does that make sense?
Okay, that makes sense. So his, like, body was holding him back.
Exactly. So, like, he's in hell, and then, you know, we learn a little later in the episode that he, you know, figures out how to astral project, but he still has his own powers. Then he obviously comes into contact with Cole's powers. So I just think that he was limited to the type of demon that he was. But again, there's no supporting evidence of that. I'm just spitballing.
Okay.
But as far as Barbas and his themed episodes, do you happen to like Barbas and, like, what usually comes with the episode and the plot when he is around?
I feel like when he's around, he's a pretty dangerous villain, which works for me. I think he's interesting whenever he pops in.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
Back at the manor, Paige is trying to master one of Prue's most difficult spells, the animal conjuring spell. She's sad because even though she quit her job to be a full-time witch, she still can't fill Prue's shoes. As Leo tries to cheer her up, Piper comes in saying she will be gone for most of the day, pampering herself. She is in good spirits because she has completed the first trimester of her pregnancy. No more morning sickness. She suddenly sees a spider and is freaked out. Paige gives her crap for being able to fight evil but can't handle a spider. Cole arrives believing he's being followed. He hurls an energy ball behind him and Leo barely dodges it. Cole knows something is messing with his mind and he may end up hurting somebody.
So, Paige actually just really read herself for filth. I mean, honestly, if Prue's able to have a full-time job and be able to be a badass witch, like, that does say a little bit something about Paige. But I think everybody comes into their, you know, magic and their skill level, you know, at their own pace. This is something that you can probably answer for me, Sean. When you watch magicians, do you feel that all of them are at the same exact level?
No, there were some characters who were much more powerful than others, even though they were in the same class.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, with Paige, she obviously is going at her own pace. I wouldn't say this is something to be said about her skill level or how capable she is, but in comparison, that's pretty low.
Right.
What is your relationship with spiders, Sean?
They freak me out a little bit in person. Like, I don't like reaching my hands into places where I can't see what's inside of it because of spiders. But I also don't, like, freak out and scream. Like, I'm level-headed enough to kill it or move it if I need to.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like them at all. If I see them, they die on sight. Like, I'm not fucking around. I wish that I was a lover of all animals, but I cannot with that. Because I'll tell you right now, this is the time of the year when your body gets bitten a lot. Because these spiders go into hibernation. They can't take that heat. I don't know what it is, but, like, I'm not having it. I can't. So, spiders, no.
I used to follow Chris around when we went to Best Buy, and I would take a spider DVD, and I'd hide it behind things because he hates spiders, and it would freak him out.
Yeah, yeah. It's not my jam. Not my jam. So, Paige, I love her in this. First of all, she has absolutely no reservations when it comes to Cole. If this fool needs a slap in the face, she's going to do it and not feel any remorse to it, right? So he's sitting there getting all bug-eyed and evil and like, oh, I'm going to kill you. And she's like, snap out of it. She just doesn't care. You know, like, you're slapping a demon who's like on the brink of insanity and you're still pushing him around like he is some little kid. I love her confidence in the way she can just beat up Cole the way she does. But Cole was looking very convincing, I must say, with his, like, you know, madness and the way that he conjured his, you know, energy ball and everything. That looked pretty good. But what wasn't convincing was Leo's angry face when he almost got hit with one. Did you see how angry he looked? He just looked like this old grandmother with his, like, pinched lips, like, I'm gonna send you to the corner. It was just adorable. But he's just like me, though. If you were to see my mad face, it would look so cute. You'd be like, oh, look at him trying to get all buck. It doesn't work.
Oh, Rob, I've seen your mad face. I've seen it a lot. You're always mad at me.
But it's not convincing, though. Like, it doesn't threaten or scare you or anything. It just looks like, okay, what is he up to? Yeah, whatever. He'll get over it. So at P3, Phoebe is talking to a young man when Piper finds her. Huh, she is such the cock block. Don't you love how she waited until they're about to make out for her to pop in?
Yeah, and then pops up so awkward right behind them.
Just right in the face. I love it. Piper leads her into a back room, and Phoebe is not happy to find Cole and Paige there. Cole tells Phoebe of his problem. And Barbas whispers to Phoebe that Cole could be trying to turn her evil again. And Phoebe refuses to help him. Barbas then whispers to Piper that maybe she ought to let Cole go. And to Paige that her sisters are always two against her one. In the underworld, Barbas is standing on the edge of a pit of lava. Another demon has taught him to project up to the mortal world, and he plans to acquire powers and escape from the underworld. Paige is unlucky in finding an answer as to who could be manipulating Cole. So Leo comes in to inform her that the elders don't know who could be powerful enough to do this. Paige confides in Leo as to still having doubts that Cole is trying to play tricks on them, and if she should continue investigating. Leo, as her white lighter, says, go with your instinct, but as her brother-in-law, going against the sisters is pure suicide. So Barbas whispers in Paige's ear, motivating her to try and save Cole on her own, to prove to the sisters she is a good witch just like Prue. So, did you happen to recognize Miles, Phoebe's date?
He was jerk detective guy in Veronica Mars.
Yes, yes, that is something that I will always turn to when thinking about Ken Marino, is that he plays that, you know, detective who's just a pain in her ass. But he's been in everything, any kind of comedy, sitcom you can think of, he's probably guest starred on it. A bigger sort of movie role that pops into my head right away is Role Models. He was the stepdad to McLovin's character, and he was funny in that. I love him in that. But yeah, on the date, they talk about how, oh, it's the third date. You know, it's mandatory. We have to kiss. And I think we've talked about this before. Do you believe that the third date is the maximum? Like, if you haven't kissed each other, then it's probably not going anywhere or they're not interested.
I don't know. I don't really put a time frame on things. Like, I think when it happens, it happens. Typically with my dates, though, like, if I'm into the guy, usually we're kissing on the first date. But I have experienced where, like, one couple I was dating, we're like, oh, well, it's the third date. Most people have had sex by now. And I'm like, oh my goodness, wow.
Jesus.
Right?
So my thing is that I don't necessarily lean in for a kiss on the first date unless I'm super digging him. Like, if we're both, like, awkwardly letting each other know, like, I want to make out with you, most likely we will, right? But I'm not necessarily into kissing on the first date. I think it's fun and exciting to lead up to it and possibly do it on the second or third. It's not a mandatory thing with me, but to me, I think it's just, again, something to look forward to. But then it was also said that, you know, talking about the exes in this date, by this third date, do you think that if you hear about an ex before or after, you know, before the fourth date or whatnot, is a bad sign?
I think so. Like, if they're talking about their ex, like, on anywhere in those first three dates, I'd say, like, that's a sign that they're just hung up on them or there's some unresolved issue.
Yeah. I'm not a really big fan of it either. Sometimes I can't help it. I mean, if somebody asks about it, I can try and veer the conversation away, but I'm also very honest, and if it's something that they want to know, then hopefully they're the type to not let it bug them. I mean, I would never bring it up by choice. You know, it would always be if somebody asked, you know?
Right.
I just want to say that Phoebe looked very, very beautiful on her date with Miles. I loved her outfit that she was wearing.
Yeah, and actually, Ken Marino looked pretty good, too. Like, maybe because he is sleazy in Veronica Mars, they never noticed it, or I don't know. But in this, he looked pretty good. Paige goes to Cole's apartment, but Cole, thinking she's a demon, attacks her. Attacking all these women, who is this guy? She convinces him of who she is. Paige has brought a power-stripping potion. Barbas whispers to him that he fears hurting Phoebe. Cole takes the potion and loses his powers to Barbas, who is now free of the underworld and fully corporeal. Barbas blows Cole out a window. Leo is able to heal him, proving Cole is no longer evil. Barbas frees Stimple and reconvenes at Cole's apartment as they devise a plan to take over the underworld. Barbas, of course, is only thinking of vengeance. The sisters at the manor are doing research on how they can stop the new and improved Barbas. Paige, still feeling bad, continues to apologize even after Phoebe reminds her that she ruined her date with Miles. Cole, surprisingly to the sisters, comes to Paige's defense. Paige thanks him for his gesture. A sign that Cole is good, he has now become an innocent. They have to save him. Leo orbs Cole somewhere safe.
So this power stripping potion idea, you know, I mentioned this before, find a way to get rid of your powers, Cole, be the man that Phoebe wants you to be. Granted, you know what happens, but initially, this idea of stripping his powers, good idea, bad idea?
Good idea, because he's got way too much power right now.
Yes, I would agree with that. Now, here's the other thing. You get rid of his powers, they have to go somewhere. Now, I know that in the past, when demons tried to steal the power of three, you know, there would be a physical and visual sort of thing that comes out of the charm ones and into something else, right? They don't just obliterate in thin air. So would you say that this is a little bit of shenanigans, that they have to be transferred to someone else, something has to have it? Or do you believe this is a storytelling tactic to, you know, keep, and, you know, Cole evil, or, you know, with these powers? What do you think?
I kind of think it's shenanigan-y, because when he lost his powers in season 4, they didn't explain it going anywhere, did they?
Well, the only thing I can think of is when he was, you know, when he died and he was in that wasteland, remember when all of the demons would be vanquished and obliterated, the powers would just be left standing there until that wormy thing grabbed them. So I guess powers don't officially just go away. Like, something has to absorb them. And you'll learn later in the series, too, that you can bottle up powers. So I don't know. It could go either way. I just found it very convenient that it happened to be this way, because they never explicitly said that powers have to go somewhere, you know? And as far as Barbas's plan and encouraging Paige to save him and all that jazz, it didn't make sense. It wasn't clear how he was going to, you know, become mortal again, if that makes sense.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so to see Barbas just absorb his powers so easily because he was somewhat astral next to him, I don't really believe that, but that's what happened. So what do you think about this, like, plan that just came out, how he got his powers? Do you find that, like, a cool, you know, story device?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm used to people coming back from death pretty consistently in all my comics, so I'm here for it.
Now, Paige, not knowing who this guy is at all, seemed pretty freaked out, and I think seeing him for the first time just appear out of nowhere, just like Baba Yaga. do we blame Paige for this?
No, I think she was acting as best as she could for the situation. Like, Cole's powers needed to be gone, and she would have had no idea that it would bring Barbas back.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do applaud Paige for trying to help. I think the biggest thing was that she didn't tell her sisters of the plan. And I think that maybe if she had talked about it, they probably would have talked her out of it or something. I don't know. But again, that to me is something that I wouldn't have known to tell her, because I didn't know powers needed to transfer from one demon to another. So I understand that Piper is, like, super pissed off at this point, but it's mostly done out of fear. They've dealt with him before, and they never dealt with him without Prue. You know, I guess I understand their frustration, but I wish they would have let off Paige a little bit on this one. Oh, and I love the fact that Stimple is, like, trying to convince Barbas to, like, take over the underworld, as if they are, like, working together, or if he is working for Barbas. I mean, like, you taught him how to get out. He freed you. Take the win and get the fuck away from him. He's clearly unstable. I don't know why he stuck around trying to convince him, oh, you need to take over the underworld. Like, he's going to be your right-hand man or something. It was a ridiculous thing, but
I feel like he was the Sarah who, like, had all the good ideas. Like, you need to do this. Cement the win, dude. But yeah, I wouldn't have stuck around with him. But yeah, had he listened, he would have won, probably.
Exactly. So Barbas has called a council of high-level demons, and Phoebe projects an image of herself into the room and tricks Barbas into vanquishing several demons. Barbas, angry, shimmers into the manor. I love this. And I, you know what? If I was Barbas, I would have done the same thing. Phoebe really read him for filth and made him look like shit in front of those other demons. So the sisters try to vanquish him with a spell they use for the source, but it fails. Barbas breaks over the walls and windows of the manor. The sisters are trapped and Paige cannot orb out. Piper cannot blast the bricks and Leo cannot get in. Paige believes that she is trapped in the baby's room and that the walls are closing in on them. Piper is afraid of spiders, and Phoebe sees her date from P3 claim to be evil and shimmer away. Shortly after, though, they overcome their respective fears, and they are sure that Barbas will try again and decide to give Cole back his powers. So this scene was pretty trippy. What did you think about all of their fears coming through true and the way that they sort of executed this scene, Sean?
There was something really creepy about that baby's room, like with just the crib sitting in the middle of the wall, and something about the way it was lit, probably maybe because the room was like set up to like come in on her. So maybe that's why it looked so creepy, but yeah, that kind of got me. I like the way that looked.
Yeah, and I think Paige was very convincing in her fear as well. But I love the fact that the doorway is open and the sisters can see her. Pull the woman out of the doorway and save her. Like, I love the fact that they just assumed that they couldn't reach out to her and just grab her from the room.
Right.
That was a little weird. But I love how Phoebe is like, okay, everybody, you know, conquer your fears. It's okay. It's just a room. And then Miles comes in and she's like, yeah. It's like, what do you want? Like, he's not supposed to be there. But she's so casual at answering him when he calls out to her. I just thought that was so funny.
Phoebe, preparing a potion with Paige, sees Barbas where Paige really is. Barbas claims to have killed Paige and Piper. Phoebe attacks Barbas, stabs him with an athame, and only then realizes that she has stabbed Paige. Barbas continues to whisper to Piper, and she has a cramp in her belly. She fears for her baby, but soon overcomes her fear. She comes upstairs and blasts Barbas. Phoebe believes she is evil, but Piper convinces her otherwise, and Phoebe overcomes her fear. The bricks disappear. Piper calls for Leo, and he heals Paige. Now, I had one issue with this, Rob.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if you know where I'm going to go. But at the point where Phoebe's fighting Barbas, she knows she's fighting a demon of fear. She knows, like, her biggest fear is losing a sister. At the point when Barbas is laying on the ground and he's like, oh, you got me. Go ahead and kill me. I would be like, okay, I need to question my circumstance right now. So I was a little mad that they treated Phoebe that way and made it just that easy.
Phoebe was in the zone. Where has this woman been for an entire season? Like, I've right. never seen her kick ass like that before. And she, I mean, she took it to the neck. That's fucked. Like, you're pissed when you hit somebody. When you deck someone in the neck, you're fucking pissed off. Where was this woman before? But I also take it to Paige. Like, yes, you may not be able to orb out of the house, but you can orb out of the room. Like, get away from her. Why is she taking these beatings?
Yeah, I think the most realistic they showed was Piper, because he really hit home on, like, she split up her parents, like, she's losing her baby. Like, those are very real, like, very personal fears.
Yeah, yeah. We also had another psych out with Leo again. They love, like, pretending to be Leo. Did you think that was Leo?
I think I did, come to think of it.
I wanted to believe that it was Leo, but it was weird because they didn't explain how he was able to get in. They made it clear he couldn't orb in, you know?
Oh, that's true.
But I can't believe Penny and Victor were arguing in front of this little girl, just like right in front of her. I thought that was so inappropriate for these two people to be doing that, and him walking out, like... Are you ever really that mad that you would do that to a kid? Like, I don't know. Maybe anger just takes over and you just don't care. But I just was like, I can't believe they just yelled and argued in front of her.
Yeah, and also, Grams used magic in front of her. So was that part of the deal? Like, they took their memories away of magic when they were young? Oh, they did.
Yes, they did. Okay. I mean, I want to say they did. I mean, most likely it was more of just the binding of powers. And then it was like, oh, they're too young to remember, you know?
Okay.
But it could be repressed. Who knows? I mean, how accurate was that memory to begin with? Because it could have been altered because of the demon of fear, you know?
That's true.
But no. I mean, that's a really good question. You know, I think she's definitely at an age where she would remember something like that. So, it must have been a memory wipe as well. So Barbas has the backing of the underworld to become the new source, but he doesn't care. He just wants revenge against the Charmed Ones. Cole agrees that he must take back his powers, and Barbas comes blasting in, and the power transfer potion breaks. Barbas traps the sisters, but Paige orbs the spilled potion onto Barbas, very similar to what Prue did in a couple of episodes, so that was nice. Cole vanquishes Barbas with an energy ball. I didn't know it was that easy to do, but... Then he fades out and summonly as the family backs away from him in fear as he is now evil again. So, Sean, what is your take on the only way that we can get rid of Barbas and the new powers he has is just to give it back to someone who knows how to control them? Do you feel this was the only way to get the win?
It seems like it, and I mean, it follows the rule that they set up in this episode that you'd have to transfer it back somewhere, so transferring it back to where it came from makes sense.
So they finally had Cole as, you know, an innocent. He was now good. We finally got him to where we wanted him to be. What do you think about the storytelling execution of his storyline this season? Like, for him to become good only to become evil back again. Do you think that this is something that you like being told as far as the storyline? Or do you think it's like a tease or kind of a waste?
I like it so far because as someone watching for the first time, like, I can buy Cole as a good person from the way that they're showing him right now. So I can definitely see where it could go bad, but I think as a first-time viewer, I want to believe in him more than I don't.
Okay. All right. So in the final scene, Phoebe goes on her fourth date and shares a kiss, and they share a kiss together as she is still interested in Miles. Piper has let go of her fear as well, and even though Leo is concerned for Paige, Piper believes that she'll be okay. Paige is seen in the attic, finally mastering Prue's animal conjuring spell that we never got to see Prue do in the first place, but yay for Paige. End scene, and that is our episode 7 of season 5. So, Sean, what did you think of tonight's episode?
So, this episode actually started a whole kind of internal dialogue for me as I was watching it, and it kind of made me finally look at Charmed versus Buffy and why I think they're different. And I think it's because Buffy did more episodes like this where it was like very personal and very like they're trapped in something and they have to figure out how to break it with like the brick wall and everything. So on that note, Rob, I did really like this episode. I thought it was worth the wait, and I like that it made me think of Buffy.
Very good. Very good. I will take that as a good thing for sure. I recently did see something on Twitter. There was this thread about how Buffy will always be superior to Charm based on the heavy commentary that the show held as far as the character development and the everyday life of what people go through embedded into the monster world and sort of in a symbolic way. And yes, I definitely agree that Buffy was very strong in those plot points, but do you see Charm not having that type of sort of status at all with the show?
I wouldn't say that. I'd say, I think the only reason why people compare them is because they were similar, you know, genre shows in the day, and they were like the first two shows like it. But I don't think they should be compared because they're very two different tones. They, you know, they have different things going on. So, I don't know. Charmed stands on its own and it's still fun to watch. It's just people like to compare them because of the time frame.
And that, my Charmies, is the exact thing I wanted Sean to come to when watching this show. Whether he likes Charmed or not at the end of the day, my goal was to make sure that these two shows are different and they should not be compared. And you can always just downplay Charmed as this low-level, you know, mediocre show because it wasn't written like Buffy. And they are totally two different shows and shouldn't be compared. So my mission is complete. The rest of this is just for fun. But yes, I totally agree with you, Sean. And I'm glad that you like this episode because for me, I do too. I like when they play on their fears and they put more of a horror aspect into the show. I like when they have fun and they have a back and forth of lightheartedness and then they come to these heavy personal things, and it's good for character development as well. But yeah, I really did enjoy this episode. All right, so some notes from episode 7. So this is Barbas's third appearance, and this is also the very first time that Paige meets Barbas. Barbas is also the second evil being that all four of the sisters have encountered. Sean, can you guess who the other demon was?
Who the other demon was? So that all four sisters have encountered?
Yes.
And I've already seen this happen?
You've watched as much as I have.
Oh, is it Cole?
See, now, on a technicality, yes, it could be Cole, or it could be, you know, the source of all evil, things like that. But what we're thinking about is Shax.
Oh, okay.
Shax is the one that killed Prue, but then also tried to take out and assassinate Paige in the first episode.
You reminded me of something that I forgot to bring up from my notes.
Yeah.
That part in the episode where Piper's like, oh no, not Barbas. Couldn't it have been Shax? I'm like, why are you invoking Shax? Like, you guys didn't have an easy time with him and he killed your sister. Like, why would you pray for him instead of Barbas?
I guess because they successfully defeated him where they didn't defeat Barbas. But no, I totally get it. I wouldn't want to face him again either. So this is the second time that Paige dies. And Phoebe reveals that she has overcome her previous fear of losing her sister, obviously a result of Prue's death in All Hell Breaks Loose. Her biggest fear now is becoming evil. What did you think about her newfound fear of being evil? Does it make sense that she should be scared of that?
I think it makes sense because she, I think, established that early on in the show that she always felt that she's evil, and then we found out that her past life was evil, and then she actually did turn evil for Cole. So like, that's a very run-on, you know, thing for her. So I'm right there with her. It makes sense.
Yeah. And the title of the episode is probably a reference to the song Sympathy for the Devil, the opening track of the Rolling Stones' 1968 album, Beggar's Banquet.
And the last song to be played in Interview with the Vampire.
Is it really?
Yeah, well, maybe not the end credits. I think it plays into the credits, so maybe there's a song after, but that's like how it ends. Like, he puts on the glasses in his car, and it plays Sympathy for the Devil.
Oh, good memory. I would not have remembered that. All right, Charmies, it is time for Hot Man Meter. Boys and boys should be together. All right, we are going to start with our Demons of the Week, Billy Drago as Barbas. This is your shot, Sean. Do you want him on your Season 5 Hot Man Meter?
You know, I feel like I do kind of want to put him, but I don't, so I'm not.
Very well said. I love this TED Talk. Thank you very much. I am going to pass on Barbas as well. Here's another shot at Victor Bennett. So this time he didn't have the gray, silver, foxy hair. He had on I'm going to be young and in the past hair. So let me dye it black and put on this. Oh my God, it looks so bad. Does Victor Bennett make your top 10 list?
I like him better as the Silver Daddy. So
do I.
With that darker hair, nope.
Yeah, I'm passing on that too. Sorry. All right, how about Miles, the new man for Phoebe, played by Ken Marino? Does Miles make your top 10 list?
Although he is quite good looking in this, he's not enough to go on my list.
Oh, okay. Well, he's going on mine. I always found Ken Marino so freaking hot. And the height is what does it for me, obviously. But I love his character in this show. He just comes off as such the sweetheart. So he is definitely going on my list. And he is going in my number 5 spot, right above the TV reporter, just under Ramus the Elder.
Wow.
All right, and then we have Troy Blundell. So this is our astral projecting demon, Stimple. Does Stimple make your top 10 list?
He was also not bad looking, but I'm going to pass on him.
Yeah, I actually didn't mind him either, but not hot enough to make my list, so I will pass as well. And that'll do it for Hot Man Meter. Remember, everyone, we want you to keep up a list yourself. At the end of the season, I'm going to ask for you to email or send your list through Twitter or Instagram so I can put together a charming Hot Man Meter for Season 5. All right, Sean, it is time for our MVP. Who gets MVP this week?
I'm going to give it to someone who was kind of a badass in this episode and looked hot doing it. I'm going to give it to Phoebe for just that scene alone when she, like, orbed into the office and, like, pissed Billy off.
All right, no, cool. I am also giving it to Phoebe, too. I think that she sort of played savior in this one. You know, she was more of the level-headed one when it came to conquering the fears, even though she killed Paige. But at the same time, I'm glad to see her fight more and really go for it. She also looked great on her date. I'm glad that she's moving on from Cole. So, yeah, I'm giving it to Phoebe, too. All right, next week on Charmed, A Witch in Time.
A Witch in Time. I guess another time traveling episode.
All right. I mean, what else are you really going to say? So, <Yeah. laughs> but I actually really enjoy this episode. And I think, Sean, I think you'll like it too. I think you'll like it too. It's a really interesting plot device that they use for this one. So tune in next week, Charmies, for another episode. We are scheduled to record episode 8. On time. So thank you all for watching. Thank you all for listening to our episode once again. We hope you enjoyed it. Remember to like and subscribe all of our entries we have on Instagram and Twitter. Make sure to review our show if you have not yet on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, anywhere where you listen to your podcast. Make sure to tell a friend, let everyone know about our show, and come back next week for an all new episode. Sean, take us out.
All right, Charmies, thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye!
A little lovin'.
Hey!
Has the Charmed Ones feeling hot.
What is this, a brothel?
But passion's flame just might kill them. Oh, but just for a minute.
My kisses kill me.
Right back at ya.
An all-new Charmed Firestarters.